seats. Henry, come forward. Thanks, bud.
We just want to say for the moms there at the back, there's no kids today, so me and Annelise will be in the mom's room. If any one of you want us to look after the babies, we're going to be there. Okay.
Is there a lectern? Does somebody know? Otherwise, can we steal this? Still there. 2:50 after the service, anyone who wants it.
Thank you. I was just thinking while we were worshiping about a quote that I've just thought about for the last couple of months, even probably the last year or two, and it's just this theologian that has passed away, Timothy Keller, who's a Presbyterian minister theologian, and he said that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, unburdens us from all expectations. The expectation to perform, the expectation to be a someone or something or in a sense the how we ought to behave in the eyes of others. And I think for me personally, the last 13 years of walking with the Lord has been a perpetual, continual moving forward of one degree of freedom to another. This world wants to keep us in bondage. The world wants to keep us in Egypt. The world wants to keep us in performance to be a certain body in the eyes of others or even in yourself, to the expectation of proving yourself to yourself. And I just felt that the Lord wants to come in, just do something in that area. So I want to pray for that, nothing to do with my preach. I just felt that for us this afternoon, that freedom is available for you, for me. Do you believe that? There's freedom for you. Not the freedom of kumbayaing up and down and lifting your hands alone, but a sense of just I'm free. I'm free just to live for the Lord. So Father, I thank you for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus Christ, for Jesus, for freedom Christ has set us free. Father, I pray for the weightiness to be a something or a somebody in the eyes of others, or trying to impress others, or trying to just live up to the expectations or even the weight that we've placed on ourselves, that if I don't reach this bar or reach this standard or that I'm not this person, God, that you want to come and deliver us even from that. That we would live in light of the eyes of the one that looks to us and says, you are approved. You are loved. You are chosen. It came out in the prayer meeting about Ephesians, that you are adopted. You are in him. Amen. I'm Henry. It is, I know, a significant amount of you guys. I haven't been here in a significant amount of time. We are part of the central congregation, and we meet exactly the same time, hence why we are not here a lot. But it feels like a little bit of pudding in the end of my week to worship with you guys and be with you and just enjoy the Lord. And I'm married, I promise. My three girls are at home currently. But weird story, like half an hour, 45 minutes before we came, our oldest one, she's 3 years old, just almost 3 years old, Mia. Mia came to us like, my ear pain, my ear is paining. I'm like, no, not now. And we tried to give her medicine. She just skipped a nap. So she was just like emotional all over the place. And we're like, and then she said, ek wil opie cake, little cartoon, ape thingy. And then we put her there and so on. And so she has ear pain. And then as I arrived here, my wife said, she doesn't have ear pain. She wanted to watch RP the whole time. Okay, so she fooled us. Okay, but otherwise, they would have all three been here. My wife's name is Brigitta, not to be mistaken with Pruvita, but it's quite similar. And then Mia is our oldest one. She's turning 3 relatively soon in September. And then our little addition to our family, we are very much still adjusting, is Lana. our calm and gentle little baby. So that's the Lategans, and we are part of the leadership team on that side. But although we are there and we are here, we are one body, and it's just amazing to be with you guys. We were one congregation, and then we multiplied of what the Lord is doing. So I think it's beautiful to be with you. And not this Friday, but previous Friday, we were actually as a congregation meeting in different homes. We pray on Friday mornings, and we were actually praying for you as a congregation, praying for you that the Lord would come and do something significant in you, that there would be, just continually this bringing you, every single one of you, before the Lord. We prayed for the elders by name and just trusting that God would speak to us on your behalf. And it was just so beautiful for us participating in the gospel with you. While not physically being with you, there's a sense of a partnership that we had. And during that prayer meeting, the Lord spoke to me regarding a preach that I had for you guys. And obviously, I wasn't scheduled to preach anywhere, so I just popped the prophetic words through to Godfrey, and then somebody else would have preached, I thought, or something like that, and then somebody fell through, and then Godfrey's like, do you want to preach? I'm here. So the Lord has really been, there's something on the Lord's heart for you, and I do trust and believe that the Lord wants to move you into something this afternoon. And so without any further ado, the prophetic word that I got for you as a congregation was actually a parable or a story that Jesus told in Matthew 13 about a sower that goes out to sow different seed or good seed. But as he sowed seed at the night, the enemy came to sow also seed amongst the good seed, okay? And then what started to happen is the good seed started to grow and the bad seed started to grow. The wheat started to grow in between that. And there was like, whoa, what's going on here? So they wanted to basically try to pluck out all the wheats in and through that. And at the end, basically the whole parable of the story is about those that are of the Lord, the good seed, the Christians, that one day will be gathered into the barn and to be with the Lord. And those that are not of him will obviously not be there, and they would be sentenced to destruction. But in and through that, what I felt, and although that speaks about believers and unbelievers being gathered or separated from one another, I felt or I saw that same picture in regards to our Christian walk. So I know the scripture doesn't, that is not the interpretation of that scripture. But what I saw through that is that the enemy has sowed seeds of havoc and destruction in many of your lives. And initially, it went unnoticed. It was just in the midst of your beautiful garden, you're living for the Lord, you're trying to do the walk the walk and talk the talk and follow the Lord. And all of a sudden now, over years of walking with him, you look at your garden, you're like, what's this thing growing here? What's this little wheat? And it's starting to drain the life a little bit out of you. There's a sense of confusion. There's a little bit of a disillusion. And there's a sense of the enemy has caused havoc in the camp. And what I believe that what that did to you guys or to some of us in this room this afternoon, tonight, is it caused great emotion to arise in your heart. For some of us, you might be looking at your Christian life, looking at your life currently, your work, marriage, parenting, all of those things, and there's actually a sense of loss, a sense of grief, because you had this picture of a lavishing garden, and now all of a sudden it doesn't fit the mold. Or for some of us, it might be, I wrote down here, that there's a sense of hopelessness, or even just in your walk with the Lord, you just feel stuck. I'm just stuck. How do I go from here? And I feel for some of us, subconsciously, what you might be thinking or feeling is you might not say it, but deep down is you have this thought, is this it? Is this it? Is this just my life? Is this just my Christianity? Is this just the way it is? Is this just the way my marriage should be? Is this just my financial situation? Is this just how parenting looks? Is this it? And I think it has caused great, in a sense, loss and grief in our hearts. And the things that it might be referring to for some of us is just the amount of growth or even lack of growth that you expected. You thought you would have been down there already, but now you're still like here. Or for some of us, you're still dealing with things in your life, like nagging sin, maybe temper or anger, or just a critical heart. You're just like, I can't get rid of this thing in my life. Or there's just maybe a sense of laziness, anxiety, depression, and you thought, when I'm this age, it ought to be gone already. And now it's not. Maybe for some of us, it's just that echo, once again, of the hurt of the past. You thought like the wound would have been healed, but that thing is just continually following you, season in and out of your life. And maybe it's the loss of just an image or a sense of when I looked into the future and I imagined this is what marriage would have looked like. And now it's turning out so much different. Maybe you've dreamt and you've watched a lot of Instagram reels on parenting. Big mistake. Okay? You will experience deep trauma when you get children and you've watched reels. Okay? It's fake. And then having children, you're like, I thought it's going to be like this and we can take these cute photos. And are they, like, literally, I put on like 4 different t-shirts a day because there's only milk on the shoulder the whole day. Like, continually. Okay? And it's just like, I thought it's going to be gushy, gushy, amazing. And now it's like vomit, screaming from my wife. And you're just like freaking out about these things. And all of a sudden, the loss of what it ought to be creeps in. And you're like, oh, I'm stuck. The amount of feeling stuck as a parent is, yeah, pray for them. But maybe it's in your work, financial situation, or even just when it comes to your walk with the Lord. A couple of years ago, you were still dreaming about counting for Him. A couple of years ago, you were still pumping for the Lord and on fire. And now it's just like, we do the Christian thing. And I believe God wants to minister into that this afternoon. I don't have a title, okay? That's it. I don't have a fancy preach. I don't have eloquent words. I don't have anything of that. But I do think there's a heart for you from the Lord this afternoon. I believe there's a heart from God that He wants to tell you guys, I still want to do great things through you. There's a heart from God that He says, I still want to walk with you daily. Not like one day, like today. There's something of a desire in God's heart, and you need to believe this, that your life can still be fruitful for the glory of God. Freedom is available. And I thought about that analogy that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I felt that the Lord wants to come into this room and be able to say to this congregation, when it comes to Stelis PM, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. They look just like me. They love like me. They are kind like me. They are hospitable like me. They are humble like me. They are flourishing garden of the Lord. And that is still available for every single one of you. So I want to look at a couple of things that get us stuck spiritually and tackle those things and actually just point towards the ideal, point towards what's available to us, not get stuck on the stuck part because we can get so introspective and figure this thing out and how can I get enough knowledge to get out of this? And I'm just like, look to Jesus, the founder and author of your faith. Follow Him. And at the end, I'm going to throw this out now already. I would love to pray for some of us. I want us to pray for those that feel discouraged, those that feel just stuck, those that feel, even to a large extent, hopeless in the season they find themselves in. You guys good? You guys like staring at me. It's weird. Stop it. Okay. So, just three areas of how we can get stuck. Number one, self-reliance versus dependency. The seed of self-reliance over time causes us to get stuck in our Christian walk. And I think self-reliance is always seen like this bad thing or this weird thing. It's just like, oh, that person is just like Ayurvais or something like that. But self-reliance is something that is so common actually in probably all of us. But it doesn't always stem from a destructive Satan heart or something like that. It's sometimes just hurt. It's sometimes just we've put out a little bit of our toe there and somebody stepped on our toe and we're like, oh, that hurt. We tried it maybe again. And we're like, oh, when I trust, I get hurt. So I'll rather just not trust. And we pull away. And sometimes self-reliance stems out of a heart that got hurt in the past. But there's good news. God wants to bind up the brokenhearted. He doesn't want to keep you in that place, because the currency of heaven is dependency. Dependent on God, dependent on leaders, dependent on one another. Self-reliance is pride. It leans our strength towards ourselves and our own intellect and our own strength and our own capacity and how we can do it. But God wants to bind up. Because if we go on just in this trend of hurt, of self-reliance, later on we become isolated. Because you don't need to run to anyone for help, you run to yourself, which causes us to get stuck because we need one another. Or maybe self-reliance is not something of laziness or even just this arrogant attitude, but self-reliance is something of a, it just looks like to be incredibly productive. Self-reliance can be something of that you are just a responsible person. That's just who I am. Or it can be your success, that you are strong. Maybe you look at your life and self-reliance has got me up until this point, so why can't I just continue? It's bringing results. It's bringing things in my life. And it might be, but it was brought up in the prayer meeting. I think Alex brought up that word of that one day our works will be brought in judgment day before the Lord. Gold, silver, precious stones, things that is of the Lord. But it can also be wood, hay, and straw. Self-reliance falls on wood, hay, and straw. And then the fire will come. The precious stones will be purified, but it will last. But that which is wood, hay, and straw will not last on that last day. And so it might have an appearance of godliness. It might have an appearance of something good, but it will be burnt away because it was never plugged into Christ. A good example in scripture of this is Moses. Moses was a man that was trained up in great intellect in the University of Egypt. He was in the governance quarters. There was a sense of he saw decision making. He understood how to lead people and do all of these things. There was a sense of eloquence to him. And that first 40 years, he actually did believe he had a savior calling on his life. You guys know that. He wanted to go and to save one of the Israelites, and how he wanted to save the Israelites was out of his own strength, and then he killed one of the Egyptians, but it was done out of his own strength. Rejection came because of self-reliance. Isolation came, and he was sentenced to the desert for 40 years in God's will. Self-reliance will get us 40 years in the desert, stuck, dry, disillusioned, until we can come to that place of dependency on the Lord again. Matthew 11, we all know the scripture. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says the following. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." The one thing that I love about the scripture, it screams one word: humility. It screams humility. It screams a heart posture that needs to be humble before you can participate in the light yoke of the Lord. There's something of humility that if you don't have it, you will struggle to go to God. If it's not for humility, you will struggle to confess. You will struggle to come to a place to say that I need help, because self-reliance says I will make a way so that I don't need to utter those words. Humility says, it takes humility to open up to someone, open up to a leader. When it comes to humility, there's something needed in humility to open about that temper or that anger. There's something that I felt even for some of us here today. That's why I'm mentioning it a couple of times. That I think for some of us, just that temper is just not leaving us. Humility to open about sin, maybe the fruitlessness that you are experiencing, or your walk with the Lord, or maybe the lack of that. It takes humility. And I must say, in my own life, I've tried. I've tried. I've tried self-reliance, and I want to say it's a trap. It's a trap. There's something in that, and I've tried self-reliance in the area of performance. You know how easy it is to perform in church? I can give you the couple of steps, okay? Can I help you to perform in church, okay? Try to be at church out of a 4-5 week month. Be there 4 times or maybe 3 times, like a 70%. Then no one is going to notice it's not going that bad, but they're not going to check in that much, okay? So there's one of them, okay? Be at prayer meeting every now and then, okay? You don't need to be everyone. You don't need to be that radical. And when you worship, okay, or way in front or way in the back, okay? There you can walk up and down, okay? And I'm not trying to be funny, but there is something to it, that there's certain things that if you just look the part and you blend in and you're socially acceptable, you'll be fine. But is your heart connected to the Lord? Are you dependent on Him? We can perform our Christianity, but what is it behind closed doors? Maybe we have tried achievements, and for me, it was business. I was in a full-time ministry, but there was something of, I was dry in my spiritual walk, and I wanted to feel fulfillment, so I started businesses. There was something in me that was drawn to that, and it was fun, and I felt success, and it was a momentary, this is awesome, but I knew it shifted. Something shifted in my heart, that my provider was no longer the Lord, it was my business. And I'm not saying businesses are wrong, I'm not saying your salary is wrong, I'm saying when your heart posture leans into fear that if I lose the job, I won't have provision, we've lost the Lord. There's something that our heart needs to know, that Christ is my provider. Even if He brings birds to bring me manna or food or whatever, God will provide, not your work. Your work is not your provider. Your strength is not your provider. Your degree is not your provider. The Lord is our provider. And it just brings perspective back. I wrote you, don't fight harder, but surrender more. I think we try to fight so much in this life. Self-reliance. I can do it. We can make it. Let's go for it. I think there's something of a surrendered heart that pleases the Lord. This week I've been reading through Matthew with one of our leaders that's just struggling to find his rhythms in just getting to Scripture, and this week we got into the Sermon on the Mount. And I just asked this question, this is the greatest sermon ever preached. So there must have been a slight little bit of thought that went into the structure on the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought to myself, why did Jesus start the Sermon on the Mount this way? The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I thought to myself, the poor in spirit, blessed are the needy. Blessed are those that see that they need to be desperate before the Lord. It's almost like a door that opens up to us that you cannot even get to the Sermon on the Mount if you don't come in with desperation, with neediness, to an understanding that I'm not going to rely on myself. I need to be dependent on the Lord. And I thought to myself, that's it. The door to the kingdom of heaven, the door to this incredible preach is neediness. That's all I have to say. I thought to say something else. I'm like, that's it. Okay. Point number two, how we can get stuck. And I'm continually pointing out the getting stuck, but also the ideal. The Lord is calling us to this. And most of it is going to end up with dependency. Okay. Old memories versus fresh manna. Old memories versus fresh manna. I think the one thing that I've tried to run away from my whole life, and then I ran straight into it, was to be a used-to-be Christian. You always get those individuals, and yeah, okay, predominantly we are younger individuals in this room, but there was always that older woman, okay? I was very tempted, but you said I must behave myself when I'm with you guys. And they tell of this great stories that they used to live for the Lord. I used to be Christian. This used to be back then. But something in me was like, and now? How's it going now with your walk with the Lord? And we can fall into that so quickly. In a year's time, we can be a Christian that prayed so much, that found ourselves in Scripture, that were hungry for the Lord and we burned with passion. We used to be passionate in worship. We used to serve everywhere, but now life has changed. I used to be close to the Lord. 2 Kings 13:21, a very interesting verse. When I read this, I'm like, this is some cool stuff. Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elijah's tomb. Pause there. You get the scenario. There's a guy being buried, okay? They're digging a grave or whatever they do back then. There comes these guys that wants to rob them or something like that. They're like, oh, shucks. They just chuck the body in there. They throw the body into Elisha's tomb, who was the prophet of God, the prophet of old. A lot of miracles, a lot of life flowed through this prophet. Okay? Next part. You probably all read it already, but let's go. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Imagine that. Literally, they're coming, this gangsters wants to mug me, let's throw it in, we're going, all the boys run, and then you throw in your buddy that passed away, he stands up, he outruns you, you're like, whoa, and there you guys run away, okay? What's going on there? Elisha, the bones of Elisha, was a picture of what used to be. He's dead, but it still carries life in the present. This is how many Christians live in a used-to-be, a remnant of life in the past, but no longer presently walks with the Lord. There can be things of wells that you dug a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, memories of testimonies 50 years ago that might carry a remnant of life because God's hand was on that. But for us, are you presently walking with God? Are you presently with Him? And that's why it was prayed once again in the prayer meeting of give us today our daily bread. The Israelite is a picture of a nation stuck in the desert and God provided for them manna from heaven every day. And the picture of that manna is significant for us in two ways. Firstly, they had to gather sufficient amount of manna, otherwise it wouldn't last them the whole day. But if they over accumulate for themselves manna, it will rot and the worms would come. So, for us, what can we learn from this? I think in my own life, I have flip-flopped to the extremes. I flip-flopped to the one side of not accumulating enough, not walking with the Lord, trying to run off the breadcrumbs, and I just felt empty, and I felt hungry, and I felt like, oh, I'm not finding God. But I think the more dangerous one is flipping to the other side in our modern day culture of consuming too much, that we so overconsume manna, more knowledge, more intellect, more books, another worship song, another podcast, another sermon, and the dopamine just go. Oh, that sounded nice. Oh, my brain is tickled. Oh, lekker, lekker. Then we go about, and all you try to do the whole day is find life. You just go through the reels, and you go through the Inspire, because something here might cause life, and it will rot. Sufficient is the manna for the day. How easily we run off the intellectualism, run off the knowledge. If you do not apply that knowledge to your life, you'll be judged on it. It will rot. Read one verse, read one passage. Take that thing in. Soak it in. Enjoy it. This morning I was meditating just on the scripture. And I'm like, there's one little bit. How does it apply? How can I live it? How can it be a part? And sufficient that manner as it comes into us. We will live for the Lord. Don't underconsume. Don't overconsume. Sufficient is the manna of walking with the Lord every day. Lastly, that what I want to pinpoint, and we're going to look at Isaiah 58. Actually, prophetic, yeah, just that whole thing that Brigitte felt this for you guys. But we want God's hand and not His heart. That will get us stuck so quickly. Isaiah, God speaks to the nation of Israel, these religious individuals, and yeah, he has a go at them. And this is how it goes. Isaiah 58 verse 2, we can read together. Yet they acted so pious, meaning they acted religious, or they acted in reverent fear of the Lord. They came to the temple every day and seemed to the light, learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They asked me to take action, so they even prayed to take action on their behalf. And this just hit me, pretending they wanted to be near me. I think it's so easy to come to God and ask God, God, can you fix this? Can you bless this? Can you open this door? Can you restore this? Can you do this? Can you do this? But underneath all of that, the question ought to be lurking in our heart, do I actually want God? Do I actually want God? Do I actually want the relationship of God, or only the things that God can benefit my life? The argument goes on, and these individuals that God is having a go at actually starts to have a go at God. Just the next verse, it says, God, we have fasted before you. We've done religious acts, they said. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves. Don't you see my capacity is to the brim, how I've suffered for your church? And you don't even notice it? And then God said, I will tell you why. I respond, it's because you are fasting, or your religious acts you are doing to please yourself. And it's a strange but very fearful thought in our heart. It's never been about God in the first place. It's been about how God can benefit my kingdom, not how my life can benefit his kingdom. Also came out in the prayer meeting. We need to make sure that we are not inviting God into our story, but we need to make sure that we understand that he is creator, and we are created, and we are a part of his story, history, his story. He is writing it. We have the privilege to be a part of that, all about him. And I want to end with this. The portion of Isaiah 58 goes on about how they fasted wrongly. And then for just this little one or two verses, God says, this is how I want you to live. And he pinpoints basic, small, simplistic acts of faithfulness. I wrote down here, it came in the prayer meeting as well. Join the prayer meeting. A lot came out there. You heard the whole preach. Back to basics. That's what I wrote here. Back to basics. Have we become above the basics of the faith, or do we still long for small acts of faithfulness towards our God? Maybe for some of us today, you don't need something new. You don't need a new encounter. You don't need a new preach. You don't need a new worship song. You don't need a new day. You need to today make the decision to return to follow God. Just simplistically walking with the Lord. What can this basic, and this is the one word that I felt for your congregation, is come back to the basics, to the faithful little acts of following the Lord again. Not the extravagant and the hoo-ha things, it is in the foundational things. This building is built on a foundation. It doesn't all of a sudden make a decision, oh, I'm going to park myself down the street on a new foundation. No, no, no. It's the same foundations. It's not, so foundations is not, in a sense, beneath us, if you understand what I mean, but there's something that grounds our faith in the Lord. So how's it going just with walking with God? How's your prayer life? Are you still praying? Are you participating? Are you praying for one another? Are you soaking in the daily manna of Scripture? How's it going in the area of repentance? Just repenting. Repentance is not just saying sorry, it's leaving and taking hold of. It's having a change of mind and going to the Lord. Are you still in awe and wonder that you are forgiven? Free. And out of that gratitude, you live for the Lord and love the Lord. How's it going with your generosity? Because we hold on to what we value. If we hold on to our money, we value money. But if we let it go, we show the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. There's a giving and a generosity in our Lord. Are you still serving? Are you still not just participating in a sense of pitching up for community, but are you in? Are you in? How's your daily obedience? And this is the one I felt strongly. How is your love going? Are you loving well? Are you loving people? Are you loving your wife? Are you loving your children closer to the Lord? Or has it just become to managing everything? If love flows through us, things are so much easier. It's easier to love that weird person in comm. They call him a grace grower or Holy Spirit sandpaper, okay? We need those people in our lives because it teaches us the ways of the kingdom. What is true religion? To love the widow and the orphan. The one that always when you love, they reject. You love, they reject. Or the widow, it's just a continually needy, needy, needy. And it shows us individuals that love them, love them, love them. And then I want to end with Isaiah 58. I just want to read this for us and then we're done. Isaiah 58 verse 8. Then, if you do these basic acts of just following the Lord, then your salvation will become like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call and the Lord will answer, yes, I'm here. He will quickly reply, remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your fingers and spreading vicious rumors, speaking out the mouth. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as the rebuilders of the wall, a restorer of homes. You will be a city on a hill, the church that God has called you to be. It will shine for the Lord. Where does it start? Dependency. Daily manna. Seeking his face and not only his hand. The hand will follow, but there's something of our priorities needs to be, I just want God again. When I worship, I want God again. When I pray, I want God again. When I read scripture, it's not to build a preach or to have something on commitment. It's just to get to know the Lord. Let's all stand.